Welcome to today's Let's Talk Guthrie County program. I'm Sam McIntosh. On today's program, I'm talking with U.S. Representative for Iowa's 3rd District, Cindy Axne.
Since we last spoke at the beginning of December, you got a piece of spending legislation to pass that includes a biodiesel tax credit extension and additional disaster aid to farmers. How will this affect corn producers who are currently frustrated by the EPA's actions regarding the renewable fuel standard?
Sam, I think that anything that we can do to improve our farmers' opportunities as we're moving through a trade war with China, and we've lost a lot of market share, corn, soybeans alike, that anything that we can do to help out our farmers, our corn farmers and soybean farmers, is a boost. Certainly getting the biodiesel tax credit, something that has literally we've been waiting to move forward for several years now. They weren't able to achieve it in the last session. This is something that will help our corn producers be able to have some certainty within the market when they know that there's going to be some impact with biofuels, biodiesel, with our tax extenders, in allowing those companies to invest capital to be able to grow their business so that they can produce more biodiesel and therefore purchase more supply. And certainly that's going to help our corn producers. We're going to help our soybean. We're going to help agriculture in general. So doing things like that, certainly I think the certainty with passing USMCA out of the House and folks knowing that it will get passed in the Senate, you know, those are the kind of things that we need right now from the perspective of providing some stability within the market, given what we've seen that's hurting us. As you mentioned, the renewable fuel standard waivers, we're still trying to get to the bottom of that, as well as the war with China, where our markets are dropping out beneath us. Anything that I can do to help push the agenda, and I've been working with Senator Grassley on this, and as a matter of fact, when I came on the plane after we finished up the week, I high-fived him and said, we got those tax extenders. So, you know, anything that we can do to make sure we're pushing opportunity for our farmers, I'm going to do. This will help tide us over a little bit and give some farmers some certainty when they're determining what their planting will look like.
What are your views on President Trump's actions regarding Iran, with last week's drone strike killing a top Iran general and his tweet Sunday that, quote-unquote, notified Congress on military action now that Iran has actually struck two U.S. military bases in Iraq?
Well, you know, first and foremost, my priority is to keep Americans safe, both here at home and then, of course, serving our country abroad. We don't have all of the information. Unfortunately, that tweet is not the proper way to inform Congress of these types of actions. And I wasn't even firsthand privy to his tweet. I don't follow his tweet. I think that it's important to look at the facts. And so we should never treat warfare with a social media post. Today, we're going to be receiving that briefing from the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, CIA Director, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on the current situation with Iraq and Iran. And I expect that this briefing will be Congress's opportunity to learn more about the decisions that were made by the president to kill General Soleimani. We still have not been made aware of the imminent threat that was described, and we need to understand what that was that prompted this move, because right now things are escalating, and we've got to be able to understand what strategy is going to keep our country safe.
How do you think Congress should act facing these tensions with Iran? I believe Speaker Pelosi is proposing a piece of legislation this week that deals with the president's powers in terms of, you know, actions like the drone strike that he ordered last week.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're not, we might not take up that resolution this week given the, you know, facts that came to light last night with Iraq, with Iran's retaliation on the Iraqi bases where U.S. military folks are housed. Fortunately, we haven't seen any casualties from that, but we're still assessing the situation. So I'm not sure if that resolution will come this week. Things are moving at a fairly quick pace, so we're going to have to address things as things are in movement. But if that does happen, I have yet to see it. As always, I'll read what I am getting before I decide to vote. I want to make sure that we're keeping our country safe and that we are upholding the Constitution and ensuring that the powers, you know, are working to support the American people.
Since House convened on Tuesday, you've proposed, a new bill that tackles rent spiking. How would this affect Iowans?
Yeah, so it's the Manufactured Housing Community Preservation Act. And what's happened, unfortunately, Sam, is there have been private equity groups that have come into being recently, and they're coming in and they're buying up manufactured housing communities or mobile home courts, as many of us grew up knowing them. And what they're doing is jacking up the land rent on them. So coming in, we had one in Waukee, and they came in and told the folks who had been living there for years, many of them on fixed incomes, many who are retired, living on Social Security, that they're jacking up their rent rate as much as 70%. Imagine somebody coming to you into your own home and saying, we're going to increase the cost of your monthly housing by 70%. We're going to give you no fair warning to figure out how you're going to make that happen. And we know that this is unacceptable and that people can't afford it. So my act will give those who are living in these communities an opportunity to be owners of their own property, to have the state and or nonprofit entities, get a grant to also help purchase that land. So it gives opportunity for those people who are living there an opportunity literally to pool their money together or to have a nonprofit or somebody help them out with getting a grant so that they can retain their homes. This also would give HUD some oversight to make sure that there aren't rent increases after that community gets that grant. We don't want folks coming in and then making money off of something that they were able to do. So this is something that we need to put in motion. Some of those, that company I'm telling you about that bought up are a couple places in our district, Indianola and Waukee, actually received some funding through Fannie Mae. I'm not in the business of ensuring that taxpayer-funded and supported programs like Fannie Mae are funding groups like Haven Park Capital to come in and basically racket up the price of people's rents through predatory practices. So there's a lot that's wrong with this situation. This is one way to address it. We're going to keep working on many aspects of it, but it's got to stop. It's unacceptable practice. We cannot just say we've got to put greed over people. That's not how we operate in this country.
That's been today's Let's Talk Guthrie County program with U.S. Representative for Iowa's 3rd District, Cindy Axne. I'm Sam McIntosh. You can find this program online at raccoonvalleyradio.com.